Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 7 for our thoughts this morning. And believe it or not, tonight we're not going to finish. So this is a two-parter, I guess, if you will. Chapter 7. Now, a little synopsis, if you will, on the book of Romans. And by the way, for a preacher, he loves every book of the Bible, right? And we do. Even for a regular child of God, you love God's Word. And it's all good. But I do like the book of Romans. And the first three chapters of Romans shares with us that man is sinful, in need of salvation. That's what the first three chapters are about. Man's condemned before God as sinful. The next couple of chapters, 4 and 5, deals with salvation is not based upon anything other than being declared righteous by the blood of Christ through faith. 4 and 5. And believe me, 1 through 3, 4 and 5, I law preach. Chapter 6, in the beginning of 7, deals with we are no longer married to the law. Christ is who we're married to as believers. I'm thankful I don't have to follow the law, because if we did, we would be in trouble, y'all. Listen, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, if anybody knew about the law and keeping the law to the T, it was him. And finally, by the grace of God on the road to Damascus, the Lord got his attention, and guess what? He opened his eyes and he realized, this law thing, it's just not the physical. Because you see, back then they were taught that when you sinned, it was all physical. It's from the physical realm. But what God, through the Holy Spirit, taught him was, no, no, no. When you sin, it comes from the heart. It's not just keeping your flesh in control. So he's going to speak about that beginning in verse 7 of chapter 7. And like I say, we'll finish the rest of the chapter, but I'll finish the rest of it tonight. But if you will, if you're in chapter 7 of Romans, let's begin looking at verse 7 and see what Paul has to say. He says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking an occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." Let's pray. Father, I want to bow before you and just thank you for this another day, life, and another opportunity to serve you. Another honor, Lord, to come to your house to be with your people, to open the blessed bread of life, your word. And I thank you for the privilege and the honor of allowing me to share it this morning. Father, as I stand before your people, I ask that you forgive me of any sin or anything in my life that would hinder me being able to deliver your word this morning. Lord, I ask that you bring to my mind remembrance of those things I studied. May I say those things you've laid upon my heart to share with your people. May I preach it with boldness and authority and declare your truths. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, have his way, and may he just speak to our hearts and change us, Lord, to be what you saved us to be. Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, especially we pray that the Holy Spirit would convict and convince. They need to trust Jesus for their salvation before it's too late. You've heard all the prayer requests this morning, spoken and unspoken. And Father, we just lay our petitions before you. Again, we ask that your will be done in each of these requests. Father, again, may your word reach its intended purposes, not return void. May you be glorified in everything said and done here. But we ask these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So go back to verse 7. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. So the first thing I want you to understand is the law was given for man's good. But listen to me, it came from God, therefore the law has to be good. The question Paul's trying to get across to us this morning is not debating whether the law was sinful or not. Because it's not sinful. Why? Because God gave it to man. And the reason God gave man the law was to identify what sin was. Amen? That's the whole purpose. How do I know that? Look at what he said. He said in the last part, that nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So we see that God gave us the law to reveal to us what sin is. And beloved, you and I know what sin is, don't we? And we know to do good and not to do it to him. It's sin. To know to do good. Now, if I was to say, let's have a testimony service this morning. And everybody got up, and generally everybody get up and say, oh, I'm so thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my health and my family and all that. And that's usually how a usual testimony service goes. But what if somebody got up and said, all right, church, I'm saved. And everybody, well, amen, praise the Lord. But then that person said, I'm saved, but I still sin. In fact, I don't want to, but seems like it's always on my mind. Seems like I can't control it. Even though I know the Lord tells me in His Word, don't do that, I am drawn to do that. Will you pray for me? Now, if we'll be honest, all of us would say, oops, preacher, wait a second. You're getting too close. That's all of us. Every one of us. And if you don't have a problem with sin, please come up here and tell us the secret. Because I have a problem with sin. Amen? All the time. Somebody cuts me off, I want to sin. Amen? I do. I see some of these politicians, I want to sin. I do. I see all kinds of things out there. But the law tells me what sin is. And God gave us the law to show us that, believe it or not, it's just not a thing of the flesh. It's the heart. And Jesus over in Matthew chapter 5, turn over there for a second. We're not going to spend a lot of time there, but I want to just share something with you. Matthew chapter 5, and this is the Lord speaking. Excuse me, y'all. Please bear with me. I'm not trying to be rude. Sometimes I cough and I got to clear my throat with this junk. Matthew chapter 5. And notice what he says in verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, setting for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, you've heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You've heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, and whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now what we have here is, if you'll notice, Jesus kept trying to remind them, it has been said, it has been said, it has been said. What's he talking about? He's talking about the law that was given to them. And I want you to understand, why did God give us the law? To reveal what sin was. Now, again, Jesus is saying, no, be you perfect as your Father is perfect. And that scripture used to give me a lot of trouble, because I kept saying, how in the world am I ever going to be perfect? There's no way, not even close. But do you know how you and I are made perfect? We are made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are made perfect by our faith in Him and His atoning death on Calvary 2,000 years ago. You see, we're made perfect by faith, not by a list of do's and don'ts. And the problem with people today is they're still trying to keep the law when Jesus said, you've heard this. No. It goes back to the heart. And I believe through the Spirit of God began to deal with Paul. I believe after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he began to think about, wow, I can remember a time holding the coats those men that stoned Stephen. I can remember arresting, thinking I was doing God's work, arresting and putting in prison Christians. You see, he realized that all of that foolishness of keeping the law, it didn't give life. It truly brought death. Now, the law itself, there's nothing wrong with it, because God gave it, and it was used as a tool not to allow man to live morally and righteous and obtain eternal life and salvation. It was given to point us to the Savior, God's Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Galatians says it was our schoolmaster. It was there in chapter 3 that it said it was to teach us of a need for the Savior, not a list of do's and don'ts. Aren't you glad you don't have that list to do today? We would be in trouble. I mean, every day, oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Good, I can mark that off. I can mark that. No. I have to skip that one for the day. Listen, we are saved by grace through faith. Simple, childlike trust. It's nothing more, it's nothing less. It's a simple act. of trusting the Savior. And that's what Paul's trying to get across to people then. Not only his Jewish brethren, whom he truly indeed loved and wanted to see them saved, but their problem was, like a lot of people today, they were trying to keep the law, thinking that that was good enough to get them to heaven. Listen to me. I don't care what you do in life, how good you are, it won't be good enough to get you to heaven. You must throw the goodies and the keeping the law away and trust in the Prince of Peace. He's the one that makes you and I good enough to obtain salvation. Nothing else. Nothing else. So if you're here and you're in bondage to the law, you're supposed to be dead to it. If you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, guess what? You died to the law. And you became married to Christ. And let me just go ahead and say, you not only died to the law, you also died with Christ on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Now, it might appear a little hard, or maybe it's hard to understand. It's really not, if you think about what Paul's trying to get across to us. You see, if anyone knew about the law, and believe me, he was good at what he did. He kept the law. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He kept the law to the letter. Then on the road to Damascus, the Lord got his attention and knocked him off a horse. And he had nowhere but to look up. And I love what he said. Jesus didn't ask, you know who's talking to you? He knew who was talking to him. What wilt thou have me do, Lord? Pretty easy, huh? He recognized right then. Now, go back with me. So again, it reveals sin. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought me all manner of concupiscence. I can't even say it. For without the law, sin was dead. Now that word occasion means opportunity. I want you to understand about sin. It's constantly seeking the opportunity to get us to break the law of God. You see, the law of God is not bad because it points us to the Savior. But sin in itself wants us to break the law. It wants to always offer an opportunity. That's what the word occasion means. To sin. What do I mean? Let me give you an example. How many of us have seen a sign somewhere that said, don't step on the grass? Now we're in the house of God. We've got to be honest, right? Isn't there a tendency to want to just step on the grass? How many of us going down the road, speed limit says 65? Or 70. I like Arizona's speed limit a lot better than I do Nevada. But it's 75. But even doing 75 miles an hour, we have a tendency to want to go 80, 85. Because sin gives us that occasion, that opportunity to go above what the law says. Because the flesh doesn't want to be told what it can do and what it can't do. So, again, sin, given the opportunity, will cause you and I to go above what the law will tell us we shouldn't do. And we're all guilty of that. I stand before you. You've heard me say it before. I probably was on a wanted poster in a post office in Arkansas somewhere. Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, enemy number one. Because I knew that's God's critters. He gave them for us to eat. And it didn't matter to me if it was seasoned or not. I'm being honest. That's that line I crossed. You see, sin, what did it do? It pointed out an opportunity because it wanted to go against the very law that God said, no, you don't want to do that. And by God's grace, I'm standing before you, not in behind bars somewhere. It was cleansed by the blood, Brother Arnie. I've been forgiven. I don't have to worry about them knocking on the door. At least I hope not. I think, what is it, the statutes are over? I would hope so. Praise God. Anyway, again, the law reveals sin. It revives sin. Now, look at verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What's he talking about? He thought because he was keeping the law, he was doing the very things that God wanted him to do. And he was alive because of it. He kept the law to the letter, thinking he was pleasing God. And there are people out there today that think the same thing. Oh, if I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this, I'm okay with God. And I'm guaranteed a home in heaven. Well, the sad thing is they're deceived. Because keeping the law has never, ever, get this, the law has never converted one person. The law cannot save you. It cannot save me. The only thing that can save us is the blood of Jesus. That's it. But the law cannot save us. But Paul thought he was alive by keeping the law. He'd been taught. And he just knew by doing what he thought God wanted him to do, by keeping those do's and don'ts, he was okay with God. But he found out after he got saved, he wasn't alive. He was dead. All of that was for naught, Brother Ciro. In fact, if you go to Philippians chapter 3, he gives a pretty good testimony there, talking about everything that he had ever done before turned out to be nothing, but I'm not here to offend anybody, but this is the Word of God. Dung. And if I have to tell you what that is, I'll be more than happy. I'm from the South. I don't have a problem with it. You step in it every now and then. Amen. You fertilize with it every now and then. Well, no, not every now and then. That's all you fertilize with back home. But my point is this. He thought he was alive. But he realized after he came to the saving knowledge of Christ, he wasn't alive, he was dead. What about you this morning? Have you come to the realization, not about the do's and the don'ts, and what for? It's about the blood of Jesus. It's about simple act of childlike trust, which is called faith. That's how we're accounted righteous. Look at the next verse. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. That's what I just said. For sin, taking occasion, again, opportunity, by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. That's what he's talking about, beloved. He thought the law was what was needed and necessary for eternal life. Heaven. He realized, nope, wasn't that at all. You see, let me tell you. When God sent His Son into the world to become the Savior and the Redeemer for man, you see, Jesus was the only one that was able to fulfill the law. Not only fulfill the law, but He was the only one that was not only able to fulfill it, but He was also able to, through His death, atone for all of us. You see, God demanded a penalty for all of our sins. And Jesus paid it. I'm so thankful. This is a penalty I could never pay. I don't care how I tried, how good I was. I could have been good 33 years ago from that day till now, till He calls me home. And it would never come close to
because I'm just not capable. You see, what I'm trying to say is, the Apostle Paul finally realized what you and I need to realize. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 this, our righteousness is as filthy rags. He realized that. He was taught, no, righteousness means home in heaven. God showed him, no. Why? Because it's not the physical realm that makes us sinful. It's this thing right here. It's wicked and evil. And it must be changed. Now, notice with me. Verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Again, the law was good. Because what did it do? It was given by God to show man that it was never enough. It was to point out we were sinners and that Jesus must become our sin. Points us to Jesus every time. Notice, when then was that which is good made death unto me? Then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment, which by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Let's read that one more time. You'll get what I'm trying to get at. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, that by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You see, the law reflects sin. And that's what Paul's talking about, how it reflects sin. You know, there's a lot of people, they don't like to hear hard preaching. They don't want a preacher to preach about sin. They don't want a preacher to preach about what God requires as standards for service to Him. They don't want to hear that nowadays. And you know why? Is it because the Word of God is of none effect? No, the law, the Word of God is good. The problem is not the Word of God. The problem is not the preacher. The problem is the heart of that person that doesn't want to hear the truth. That's the problem. Because the law, the Word of God, reflects what sin is. And I'm here to tell you, when I was lost, our old pastor would get up there, it's like he preached to me every Sunday, and he stepped on my toes, he stomped on my toes, and he preached hard against sin. And I always thought to him, how does he know this stuff? How I ain't said nothing. How does he know me this well? Well, it wasn't him, it was the Holy Spirit. But it reflects sin, and we want to bow up. But again, it's not because this is bad. It's just the heart of man. We don't want to hear it. And there's people out there today that don't want to hear. See, they'd rather hear, oh, you're so good. Oh, you give to this charity and you do that. You go down to a mission and you work at a mission. Oh, bless your heart, pat you on the head. And people just, oh, I'm so good. This book says there's none of it. None. And if we did that from now till He calls us all home, it's still filthy rags to Him. Apart from the blessings of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in our simple, childlike act of faith. Think about that for a second. Now, I'm going to close with this. And we'll take it up tonight. Finish the chapter. What are you depending on to get you to heaven? If you've listened to anything this morning, You can't depend on the law to get you there. Not that the law is bad. The law is good because it points us how to get to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also, by keeping it, cannot save you. The law has never saved anyone. So, to get to heaven, is it going to be the law or is it going to be the blood of Jesus? I'll tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash your sin away. That's how easy it is. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, you're either trying to earn your way, and by the way, if you're trying to right yourself to God by earning your way, you're in for a big letdown. Because when you draw that last breath, you don't wake up in His presence, but you wake up in hell. You're going to know all that you did in this whole earth while you were here was for naught. Because works can't save us. It's Jesus and Jesus only. So stop trusting in the do's and don'ts, and the rights and the wrongs, and the law. But do trust in the atoning death, burial, and resurrection of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven not because I deserve to go, but because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago for me on a hill called Golgotha. That's the only reason I'm going. No other reason. I'm not worthy. Neither are you, by the way. None of us deserve it. But because God loves us, He has made a way that we can be gathered to be with Him one day through His Son. So, do you know the Son? Have you exercised faith in Christ? Or are you still trying to earn your way? You'll not make it. That's the best way I know how to say it, beloved. You'll not make it. Got to be through the blood of Jesus.